ask the Lord shall be pleased to help me. I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, and just one sentence in the 6th verse. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Chapter 9, the book of Isaiah, the center sentence in the 6th verse. Some of you will be saying, I've heard the pastor give an address from that subject before. Yes, the pastor has given an address on that subject before. And to tell you the truth, two addresses with different characteristics. And it was on my mind for this Christmas time to give you another address from it, but not on the framework of either of the two addresses I have already given you on it. Years ago, when I gave you the first address, his name shall be called Wonderful, I took the letter M and spoke about a wonderful man, a wonderful message, a wonderful mercy, a wonderful might, a wonderful name with many meanings, and a wonderful magnet, all relating to Jesus Christ as the sinner's friend. When I took the subject again, I took the letter P, and I spoke then of a wonderful person, a wonderful privilege, a wonderful peace, a wonderful protection, a wonderful power, a wonderful pattern, a wonderful prospect. As the Lord shall help me at this time, I'm taking the letter R, and his name shall be called Wonderful. You do not need me to tell you who this is. You all know, even the little ones. He whose name shall be called Wonderful is Jesus Christ. And at Christmas time we think of him especially as coming into the world and being seen among men as a babe. And Isaiah lived 700 years before Jesus Christ was born, but God made him a prophet, and he gave him a vision of when Jesus Christ should come into the world to save sinners. And it is wonderful wording, although I must not make a sermon of it, but I would like to find acceptable words that you young people and children might understand somewhat of it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And now, when it speaks of a child, that refers to Jesus Christ in his humanity, being born as a babe. One hymn writer, Joseph Hart, says, it is beautiful language too. Born a babe, by birth mysterious. Which means, you must not argue about it, no reason as to how such a thing could be, but read what the Word of God says regarding it in the details of it, and ask God to help you to believe it and teach you how to appreciate it. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And now, when it speaks of a son, it means Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, in his divine nature. And the government should be upon his shoulder. If the time allowed, I would turn aside and tell you what comfort there is in that blessed truth. For you look round the world at the present time and you see it full of chaos and confusion, conflict and commotion, and men's hearts everywhere failing them for fear as they survey the things which are coming on the earth. But if you are helped to remember him whose name shall be called Wonderful, it will be a wonderful comfort to you to remember the Lord reigneth. And while this world shows to you what looks like hell let loose, the Word of God tells us, in this was the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so, this is a beautiful truth to contemplate, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. In heaven and earth and air and seas, he executes his firm decrees. And though his methods are unknown, judgment and truth support his throne. And as Jesus Christ looks down on this world, which he with the Father and the Holy Spirit created in the beginning, his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth, and he discerns every poor sinner, whatever age he or she may be, who desires to follow him and to find in him all their salvation and all their desire. And he will never overlook any poor sinner whose heart longs to entertain him. No, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of all them whose heart is perfect toward him. And now, coming to this subject, and his name shall be called Wonderful. I said the letter R. The first R stands for revelation. When Jesus Christ was born a babe, when as a little babe, and remember, a holy babe, he laid in the manger cradle at Bethlehem, his shoulders held up heaven and earth when Mary held up him. And it was a revelation of God. The angel said, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But he said also, he shall have another name, Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And so his name shall be called Wonderful, because he has made known to mankind a wonderful revelation. How God has devised means whereby God and man can meet together on friendly terms. And as I was thinking about this revelation that Jesus Christ has given to mankind, I thought about the shepherds, which you have known about from baby days on. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. There was a revelation of Jesus Christ as to who he was, and his name shall be called Wonderful. And to the good shepherds it was a wonderful revelation, but then there was yet a further revelation. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And now this is what I do so much like. And it came to pass that the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass. Do listen. The word is revelation, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph, and they saw the dear babe lying in a manger. And now what a revelation that was. One thing impressed my mind as I've had this little picture hung up in it, as it were, contemplating it. When the shepherds did go to Bethlehem and searched out the stable and saw the dear babe in the manger cradle, I wonder, I say this with great reverence, I wonder if they inquired of Mary, if they could not have found some better accommodation than for such a glorious person as that dear babe really was, to be found cradled in a manger and sheltered in a stable. If the question was ever put to Mary, the answer is also found in the record in Luke's Gospel, and it says, There was no room for them in the inn. Yes. And what do we sometimes sing? The crowded inn like sinners' hearts, O ignorance extreme, had room for all of various sorts, but had no room for him. And now that is not just a little piece of history, dear young people. There is a deep that coucheth beneath. There was no room for Jesus Christ in the inn. And in sinners' hearts, as they are born, there is no room whatever, not the shadow of a shade, of room for Jesus Christ to enter in, until he himself makes room by his blessed Spirit's teaching. And thinking about there being no room for him in the inn, I have some verses here which I will read, which will do you good if you ponder them in your heart, written by one who worships under Union Chapel roof. No room in the palace, no room in the inn, no room in the kingdom of Satan and sin, no room was the cry when the Saviour first came. And down to this day, still, the cry is the same. No room for a Saviour of mystery birth, to science the holy conceptions no worth, no room for the Saviour when reason's supreme, no room for a faith which believeth in him, No room for the Saviour, yet room he has made in Bethlehem's town. In a manger was laid, despised as a man, and rejected by most, yet worshipped by all of the heavenly host. Yes, room he has made for all sinners who cry for mercy to Jesus who reigns now on high. Despised and rejected, and then crucified, the room he then opened is still open wide. O Lord, there's no room in my heart full of sin. O powerfully enter and cleanse me within. Make room, Lord, within me, and there ever dwell. And then, only then, can I say, it is well. And his name shall be called Wonderful. And so, keep that word in your minds. Jesus Christ, as that little babe, was a revelation of God. God, seen among men, verily man, verily God. And if I can make it plain, the subject is very deep. He was wonderful in his words, because, do listen, young people, children and little ones, in his words there was no confusion, no hesitation, no mistake ever made. Jesus Christ never said what you and I do. Oh, perhaps it was this. Oh, I think it might have been that. Or possibly it may be this. No, no, he spake. And it was so. Verily, I say unto you, his name shall be called Wonderful. And you think of it. Mary never said a corrective word to Jesus Christ as a babe, or growing up as a lad, or at any time, whatever, because there was no occasion to do so. His name shall be called Wonderful. I said he was a revelation of God. The God shines gracious through the man. Yes, but I must hasten on to another R. The second R is refuge. And there, Isaiah himself, as a beautiful setting forth of Jesus Christ as a refuge, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. A man, a hiding place, a refuge. You have joined in singing sometimes. A refuge for sinners the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. The weary, the tempted and burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. But now, what does all this mean to you? His name shall be called Wonderful. And in Jesus Christ coming down into this world to live among men and do that great work which his Father laid upon him to do, the door of thy mercy stands open all day to the poor and the needy who not by the way. Do you take any advantage of it? Do you count it a privilege to prize? Do you sometimes feel, to Christ for help I fly, the friend of sinners lost, a refuge sweet and sure and nigh, and there is all my trust. The value of a refuge consists in being inside it. You may live in the vicinity of it. You may know much about it. You may actually, in gathering together for the worship of God, meet with people who do dwell inside it, but you are still outside. Hey, but if you live and die outside, you will be lost. His name shall be called Wonderful. Oh, this word refuge, it needs many sermons to set forth what a wonderful refuge it is. Where poor sinners, once they're favoured to be inside it, they are sheltered from all the assaults of sin and death and hell, and they realize a sweet, blessed, wondrous safety which is beyond words to describe. Do you ever pray this when you sing it? Rock of ages, shelter me. Let me hide myself in thee. I can only give you hints about these hours, for I have six or seven to say just a little about, to show you how his name shall be called Wonderful from whatever viewpoint you may view Jesus Christ as verily man, verily God. The third R stands for remedy. And now you know the world today, I mean the commercial world, is flooded with remedies. Most of them quack remedies. But this remedy is a wonderful remedy, such as it would be, as this wonderful man provided it. I have told you sometimes about the alchemists who spent their time hundreds of years ago trying to find out three things. One was a power that would transmute lead into gold, and another was what they called the elixir of life. If a man took a draught of it, he would live forever. The other was a medicine that would cure all diseases. But they never found either of the things they spent their lives and wasted their lives in trying to search out. But here is a remedy for all diseases. And it is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, which cleanseth us from all sin. Yes. You have heard the pastor quote sometimes. You ought to know many of the hymns I have tried to quote to you by this time. Sinner, if thou wert taught to see how great thy guilt, thy misery, in every thought and act impure, the blood of Christ thy soul can cure. And now Isaiah has a wonderful word here. The speaker in the text is this wonderful man of whom I am trying to tell you a little. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now. The word of God to any poor sinner, even if he is young and hardly knows how to put words together to describe how he feels. The word of the Lord is, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. You, a poor sinner, conscious of what a poor, guilty, hell-deserving sinner you are, I have a remedy for such as you. My precious blood avails for poor sinners like you. Yes, I never hardly read this word in Isaiah without thinking of what I read many years ago about a poor man who was dying, and a godly minister went to see him, and this poor man who was dying, in his work, he had been taught to dye cloths and worked in that line of things. And when the godly minister was trying to comfort him, as he was under conviction of sin and felt his guiltiness before God, and that he was such a sinner, he could not see that there was any hope whatever for such a sinner as he felt to be. And then the godly minister quoted this word, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And the poor dying man, hope sprang up in his breast, and he said, "That is what none of us who labour in the dying works can ever do, because red, scarlet, is a colour that cannot be altogether obliterated from any cloth where it is found." And you, dear young people, do not need me to tell you that is the reason why we have pink blotting paper. All the red rags and that which cannot be bleached altogether to a pure white goes to make pink blotting paper, where it does not matter and it is still useful. And now this very fact that there was a remedy so that scarlet dyed sins, crimson sins, could be blotted out and made white as snow gave the poor man hope, and he died and went to heaven on the strength of it. His name shall be called Wonderful. It is a wonderful remedy. The next R is robe. This dear man, whose name shall be called Wonderful, has provided a wonderful robe. Do you remember? You've not forgotten it. You've read it many times in Sunday school lessons and heard it too from the pulpit here and elsewhere, that when the prodigal returned to the father's house, while he was yet a long way off, the father saw him and ran to meet him and fell on his neck and kissed him, made him welcome. Although he had been so wicked in his behavior, the father overlooked it, blotted it out, and forgot it. And that is just what God will do, and God alone can do. Your sins, your iniquities, I will remember no more. But when they were making the prodigal son welcome, what did the father say? "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him." And now that robe is the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. And dear young people, and dear old people too, and dear middle-aged people, you cannot enter through the gates of pearl without it. No, no. You and I must have this best robe to cover us, to make us meet for the inheritance of the saints in light. And it needs thinking about, because you remember the Saviour speaks about a man that was at a wedding feast without a wedding garment on. And that was an insult to him who provided the feast and issued the invitation. Because in the land of the Bible at such times, at wedding feasts, they had to don a robe that was provided by he who gave the feast. in honor of him. Remember that, and to be there, dressed in your own garments, and not without the over garment which was provided by the head of the feast, was a very solemn business, and the Saviour made it very plain. The king came in to see the guests at the wedding, and he saw there a man without a wedding garment, and he said, "Friend, how camest thou in hither without a wedding garment on?" And the man was speechless. He did not try to back answer. He might have felt like it, but he did not do it. He did not say, "I did not take the trouble to put on the robe that was provided. I thought I would come just as I was. My clothes seems quite good enough to be at any feast." No, he did not use such language. He was speechless. And now, what a wonderful mercy it is that he whose name is Wonderful has provided this wonderful robe for poor sinners who are made aware they have no righteousness of their own wherein to appear before God. Poor sinners who say, "Naked I come to thee for dress, and helpless look to thee for grace." Sometimes you sing, "If guilt disturb thy peace, or Satan harass thee, behold the Saviour's righteousness, which sets the guilty free." A wonderful robe. And now the next R is a bigger word, and I should have to try and explain that to the children and little ones. Regeneration. This wonderful man, his name shall be called Wonderful, because through his coming down into the world to save sinners, what do you sing in the Christmas carol? Born to give men second birth. And that second birth is regeneration. In other words, dear children, dear young people, it just means what you have heard hundreds of times. Ye must be born again. And through Jesus Christ coming into the world on behalf of poor sinners like you and me, there is a who can tell but what God will be gracious to you and me, and that we might know this second birth. Without it, we shall never be found where this man is, in the realms of bliss. You remember the dear Saviour made that plain to Nicodemus. Ye must be born again. And now what is it to be born again? It means that God gives to poor sinners, whatever their age, if he deigns to give it, he gives them a new heart, a new spirit, a new nature. And perhaps I shall be helped to make that more simple. I was reading about the Countess of Huntingdon. She was a very gracious lady, a titled lady. When she was 9 years old, she attended the funeral of a little girl her own age. And the effect of it was such that God granted her this second birth, and her eyes were open to see that the little one whose funeral she attended was only 9 years old, and the Countess of Huntingdon then, as a little girl, was 9 years old too. And if the one 9 years old could be laid in the grave, who could tell how soon that she would be laid in the grave? And it wrought in her heart, and God blessed her with this second birth, and she became a most noble lady in the cause of Christ, and was the means of building many chapels and helping godly men to labour therein, providing them the means to do so from her own wealth. What will interest you most? Read it before you go to bed, or when you do. She wrote one of our hymns, 938. I judge it is a hymn that you, dear young people, some of you, dare I say many of you, like to sing. When thou, my righteous judge, shalt come to take thy ransomed people home, shall I among them stand. And now when you get this second birth wrought in you, that is just how you feel. You see that this man whose name is Wonderful, he has a people whom he has saved by grace, whom he has loved with everlasting love, and on whose behalf he came down into this world to live and die and rise again and ascend up into heaven where he is on their behalf. And you, having this second birth, you want to be found amongst those people. And it is a great question. Shall I among them stand? And now God alone can give you the answer to that. Regeneration. Ye must be born again. This regeneration, it would need thousands of sermons to show how it comes about with people who are born again, because no two people who are born again seem to be born again alike. Everyone who tells his or her tale about it, they tell something a little different in detail. It might be through standing by a grave, as it was with the Countess of Huntingdon. Or it might be as you listen to your Sunday school teacher and take in what they pray that you will take in and never forget. Or it may be listening to the gospel. I remember meeting a lady a number of years ago, and she told me that she believed she was born again when she was 4 years old. And that was when I was preaching at a special service in a place far off from here, and my subject was peculiar people. And she was only 4 years of age, but evidently she was a hearer, and she was listening. And as some things were said about these peculiar people, this second birth took place, and something said inside her, I want to be found amongst them. And she began to ask God that he would make her manifest. She did not use the word manifest when she was 4 years old, but the meaning is the same, that God would make her one of them. And thus she began to pray. And when I saw her, she was in middle life and had made a long and good profession of the name of Jesus. But she was born again like that. You would hardly think a little one, 4 years of age, was listening to the gospel. But then this man was doing his wonderful work. This second birth took place. And then she had an ear to hear and a heart to receive. And though the beginning was small, it was real. Some good thing in her heart toward the Lord God of Israel. I must hasten on to the sixth R. And now that is rest. His name shall be called Wonderful. And there were some in Union Chapel at this time who, if they were allowed to do it, could tell you quite a little about this rest that this wonderful man can communicate to his dear people when trouble like a gloomy cloud gathers thick and thunders loud. You remember a great word that dropped from this wonderful man's lips. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that rest is rest inside. peace of mind, the peace of God, what you sing about in the Christmas carol, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Oh, beautiful is that rest. And some of us have felt like one hymn writer when he said, my heart is pained, nor can it be at rest till I find rest in thee. It is a wonderful rest. And when you get it, you will feel then like one dear godly man who penned a beautiful hymn, which long years ago when we had our old Stephen's hymn book, we sang now and again. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. You will know his name shall be called Wonderful if you get a little of that rest communicated to your heart, your conscience. And the wonderful thing about this rest is, if you get a little earnest of it in journeying through life, it is an earnest of the rest that remaineth for the people of God beyond the grave. Yes, and his name shall be called Wonderful. He can communicate this rest so that although your circumstances are very complicated, you can be quiet in the midst of it, because Job says, when he giveth quietness, who then can make trouble? The seas may be raging all around you, but this wonderful man says, peace, be still. And there is a great calm. And it is a beautiful experience to realize it in your soul's experience. Rest. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. There is another R I must touch on. His name shall be called Wonderful. And now, this R stands for responsibility. And now that is a word that needs prayerfully considering. Responsibility. It links up with a question, and it dropped from this wonderful man's lips too. And it still echoes down through the ages. And wherever the gospel is preached, those whom God has ordained to preach it, they inquire. I hope I am ordained to preach it. And I inquire of you, what think ye of Christ? Great is your responsibility to be where you are. What I mean is, you are under the gospel. You dear young people, children and little ones, the great majority of you have been brought up under home roofs where godliness is the atmosphere, where night and day you are the subject of your godly father's and mother's prayers. And now, when you get old enough to do what you like, are you going to turn your back on it all and say, we will not have this man to reign over us? Depart from us, we desire not the knowledge of thee or thy ways. Or is there something in your heart that is like one hymn writer says, we humbly for thy coming wait, seeking to know thee as thou art, We bow as sinners at thy feet and bid thee welcome to our heart. Oh, if you feel like that, the Lord bless you. And if you do, he has blessed you. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Think again of this word responsibility. You will need to think about it ere you die, or when you do. There is this responsibility. If you say, I would rather live as I was born and be in the world and have my fling, live after the flesh, the things of the flesh. Well, if you make up your mind to do that and live and die in doing it, you will find your responsibility is very, very solemn before God, whom you will meet when you die. He that rejecteth me and my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, here it is in the Holy Bible. The word that I have spoken should judge him at the last day. Not only what think ye of Christ, what do you do with the word of my grace? Do you look inside it to get help by the way and instruction in righteousness? Or do you let the dust stand on it where you never open the sacred pages and you pass it by and are more concerned with radio and television and such things which oft times are only soul destroying? Oh, you dear young people, I do wish you well. Think of this last hour, responsibility. And now, there will be just two issues of your life, one or the other. It will either be, you will see this man, whose name shall be called Wonderful, when you die, come ye blessed. Or you will see him not as a saviour, but a judge. Depart from me, ye cursed. I never knew you. Do not think the preacher hard. Let your conscience tell you, if you should hear that dread word, I never knew you, your conscience will tell you, you had no concern whatever to know him who is now your judge, pronouncing your eternal doom. And I just want to conclude my address by just quoting what is very familiar to you all. I think when I read that sweet story of old, when Jesus was here among men, how he brought little children as lambs to his fold, I should like to have been with him then. I could wish that his hand had been placed on my head, that his arms had been thrown around me, and that I might have seen his kind look when he said, let the little ones come unto me. His name shall be called Wonderful. A wonderful revelation, refuge, remedy, role, regeneration, rest, responsibility. The Lord bless you, dear young people, children, little ones, and grant you the inestimable mercy to have God to be your God. Then come what will, living and dying, it shall be well. Amen. As the glory I held its might, leading onward to the God.
so, most gracious God, may we evermore be led to thee. Hymn number 9.
Thank you.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Spirit be upon us and all who love the truth everywhere. Amen and amen. You do not need the preacher to tell you there is to be a collection for the Save the Children Fund. And this Sunday evening, I have a little extra piece of news. And that is that since we began to hold these collections for the Save the Children Fund, the collection at last month's Young People's Service, being £20.5, took us right over the £1,000 mark. Ever since, we have given collections to this fund. And I tell you that, not that you dear young people have all of you contributed that amount, but these are Young People's Services, and I know several grandfathers as well as fathers who do contribute to the collection, but you, dear young people, have wonderfully well supported it, and I do indeed appreciate what you have done, and what is more, I know that the Lord appreciates what is done in such a cause, and although 5 or 6 years have rolled away since we began to make the collections, alas that it should be said, the need is as great, if not greater, than ever in the world as it now is, to do all that can be done as our minds should direct us to contribute still to this Save the Children Fund. The Lord help you to do what you feel to be right in His sight, and bless you in what you do. And may He especially bless you in what you have already done.